In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Yes, it's time to talk movies. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10 at 557 Stillwater Avenue, where they have a film for everybody in the family. An emotional goodbye there with Carrie and Wayne.
That's why we were a little slow coming back. I had to get him out of the studio.
Picking him up and throwing him, I think, was the wrong way to go, but do what you got to do. Alan Adams joins us from The Main Edge. Hello, Al.
Hello, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How was your Monday?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Got to see you hoofing it to work today.
That's right. No, I'm a work walker, which is, it's, you know, in days like today, like I got out just in time, like the temperature, I felt like the temperature rose about 5 degrees in the 20 minutes it took me to walk from my house to the office, but it was good. Yeah. You know, I like to, it's frankly, it's the only exercise I get.
Not true, because I saw you playing an incredibly strenuous disc golf tournament this weekend.
That's right. The Maine Credit Unions do an annual disc golf tournament over at DR Disc Golf in Orrington. I'd never done it before, but a couple of buddies of mine, Webster and Israel and myself, we decided, you know what, we're gonna go ahead and give it a go. So we went over there and signed up and got out there and actually played really pretty well. Like it was a lot of fun. You know, 3-man teams, best disc, so it's like, you know, it's a lot more fun when you're not you don't find yourself, you know, up to your knees in the swamp trying to throw through a tree just to, you know, have the chance to eventually shoot for like double bogey. But with best disc, it's like one of us was always going to do at least okay.
Sure.
And so went through, it was great. And then of course on the absolute last hole of the day, Izzy goes up, he drives first and skips it into the basket on his drive. Like I've never seen anything like it. It was just it was absolutely remarkable. It was a wonderful way to close out the day. And we didn't win. We wound up, I think we were like 5 shots off the lead. But yeah, we had a really good time. It's for a really good cause. And we just a hoot.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations on a fine and fun weekend.
That's right. No, we got the wing stretched out a little bit. By the time Saturday rolls around, it will probably not hurt anymore.
Well, hope so, because I mean you're the man,
and again. So I can throw a wiffle ball 250 times
at least
on Saturday. It's gonna be fun. Sounds like it's, you know, the path to championship game might be a little rockier than it's been in the past.
Well, I mean, some of these teams we've played before.
Yeah.
Well, some, we know some tough teams there.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes, but you know, it's until it. We're like the Patriots until we get beat.
Right.
We're going to, you know, don't bet against us.
No, I wouldn't. Not if you're smart. Let's talk movies. You saw 2 this weekend.
I did.
Where do we begin?
Well, it's up to you. Do you want to hear about the, you know, the 70s set mob drama? Or do you want to hear about how Dogs Having Feelings makes me cry like a little baby?
Well, that one, I think, because I loved Garth Stein's book so much, and as often is the case with these, I just hope they didn't mess up the movie version of what I thought was a wonderful book.
Well, it's, I'm gonna give you a sort of we'll call it an incomplete.
Okay.
As far as the grade in that particular sense, and this is speaking as someone who hasn't read the book, so I can't say for certain. I know some aspects of the story that might have been deemed problematic have been removed. I had heard one particular storyline that people might struggle with now that wasn't necessarily as big a deal when the book came out has been removed. It's one of those things where you know, when you have source material like this, the temptation obviously is to sort of try to fit what you've got into the already extant sort of framework that comes with movies like this. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't work as well as maybe it could with this one, only because, you know, it feels a little overplotted. Like, you know, some of the relationship development seems is lacking. Kind of get a Nicholas Sparks whiff about things sometimes, which
that's funny you say that, because in watching the trailer, I started to feel that. And part of it, and I love him, but part of it was the whole Kevin Costner as Enzo thing.
Well, and, you know, it's, but, and then you, you know, and you put the nail on the head there, because it's like, you know, I can say all these things, but then you have a dog with, you know, thoughts and feelings that are being vocalized to me. And I'm like, okay, yeah, we're going to, let's do this. I want to know what the dog is thinking about. Quick synopsis. There's this young man named Denny. He's an aspiring race car driver, wants to go to Formula One and all that, but he's, you know, he's struggling to kind of make his way into the, you know, to advance, just kind of stuck a little bit. He teaches at a race car driving school. His boss is played by Gary Cole, who's great. He has, one day he's sort of drawn to this farm where there are puppies, and he picks out a puppy, and names him Enzo, after Enzo Ferrari, the famed, that Ferrari. And it turns out that Enzo is very different from other dogs. He thinks and feels in ways that are much more human than we're necessarily accustomed to. And he is voiced by Kevin Costner. Like, his inner monologue is Kevin Costner. They're two peas in a pod, they're buddies, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We learn that Enzo, everything he knows about the world, he learns from television. And so, like, he watches TV. And so he has this idea in his head that he wants to be reincarnated as a human. And because he learned that from a documentary on Mongolian dogs. Like, Mongolians believed that dogs could be reincarnated as humans if they lived good lives. And so Enzo's like, well, I'm going to live a good life because I want to be reincarnated as a human. They're buddies, but everything gets kind of thrown into turmoil when Denny meets Eve, played by Amanda Seyfried. And he has, you know, Enzo has some doubts about this new person. All of a sudden, before Enzo knows it, she's moving in, like, they're getting married. And then there's a new addition to the family. And then Enzo's like, well, I wasn't sure about this woman, but I will do literally anything to make sure that this new person is safe. And so that shift happens very dramatically, and it's very sweet. And then, as often happens in stories like this, people can't stay happy. People aren't allowed to be happy.
No.
And so tragedy strikes in ways that I'm not going to go into. Like, you know, see the movie. You'll, frankly, and this is one of the problems, you'll see it coming pretty quickly, pretty early on. Like, there aren't a ton of surprises to be had in this movie, even if you haven't read the book. I don't want to spoil anything, so I'm gonna leave it there. it's one of those things that it's an almost,
yeah,
if you know what I mean. Like, sure. it's you can see sort of the skeleton of a movie that could have been significantly better, and it's tough to know whose fault that is, or if it is anybody's fault, or if it's just the way things happen to come together. The performances are fine. Milo Ventimiglia plays Denny. He's got that whole sort of positive dad energy thing kind of on lockdown from his work on This Is Us. So he kind of, you know, taps into that in a way that really works. Amanda Seyfried is okay. Although one of the first questions I asked my wife when I walked out of the theater was, are we sure Amanda Seyfried is good? Because I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's one of the, like, I've seen her in things that I have enjoyed, and I've seen performances out of her that I enjoyed. But at the same time, it just, like, something about her just doesn't seem to necessarily click, which is tough. And then you have Costner, who is frankly an ideal choice to voice this character. Just because of the nature of Enzo's sort of relationship with the world, his his philosophies and ideas. I said this in the review, and I think it's fairly apt. It's kind of like if Crash Davis was a golden retriever, in a lot of ways. Like that sort of like you know, crotchety homespun sort of philosopher kind of vibe. And there's an extended sequence. You'll probably know what I'm talking about having read the book, but I'm not going to go into too many specifics. But there's an extended sequence involving a stuffed zebra that is just hilarious. And also sad.
Yeah.
But hilarious.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot going for it. And, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this is a good movie. I can't in good conscience do that. But I cried, like, half a dozen times. Like, it's like, if you have a dog feeling feelings at me, I'm going to, like, I'm going to, we rolled in there with half a dozen tissues between us because we're like, we're going to need these because we're... I recognize who I am as an audience member.
Yes.
I recognize who I am as a dog lover. And so it's like you got me. Like there's nothing I could do to not be engaged by this movie. Even when I know I'm being manipulated, like it's a dog doing stuff. Like, what do you want me to do?
All right. More or on the meter here, more or less sniffling than Marley and Me.
Oh, well, yeah. Like Marley and Me is a whole different, the whole different animal. Although I will say, this movie hits you right at the beginning and is not shy about it. Okay. It's just like, it's like I, the credits hadn't even finished rolling and I'm like dabbing. And, take that for whatever you will. Again, like not a great movie, but if you're like me, someone who feels that, perhaps over-involved connection with our canine companions, you're going to be engaged by this movie.
Did you run home and immediately hug Stella?
Oh, I gave her a little snug and like squeezed her face and was just like, oh, you're the best dog.
All right, from The Art of Racing in the Rain to The Kitchen.
This is another one that I kind of wanted to be better than it was. It's funny, and I think it falls victim to first-time director syndrome because the director is a woman by the name of Andrea Berloff, I believe her name is. She's a longtime screenwriter. She's had a couple of pretty decent screenplays made into movies. She actually wrote the screenplay for this one as well, but this is her first time in the director's chair. And I feel like she might have, maybe didn't have the confidence in her choices that she might have otherwise had with a little more experience. And so it's a mob movie for those who are unaware, and it kind of leans on the cliches and tropes of the sort of, you know, pop culture mob movie that we've, you know, sort of we've developed as a shared consciousness, you know, over the past 40 years or whatever. There's a lot of stuff that you've seen before, like a lot of ideas. There's not a lot of new ideas being explored, despite the fact that you would think that the basic conceit, which, by the way, this movie's based on a comic book, which I had no idea. It's from the DC's Vertigo imprint, I guess. It was a limited series or something. But the basic gist is three women whose husbands are all involved pretty heavily in the Irish Mafia in New York's Hell's Kitchen in the late 70s, their husbands get busted and they have to go to, they go to prison. And so the women, having counted on the family to take care of them only to find out that they're not going to get the care that they anticipated, decide to take matters into their own hands. And you've got three women. You've got Kathy, played by Melissa McCarthy, who's happily married. She's got a couple of kids, like, you know, happy to be the sort of homemaker. Then you've got Ruby, played by Tiffany Haddish, who has married into the family, much to the chagrin of many. Tiffany Haddish being African American, and the idea of an African American marrying into an Irish mafia family in the 1970s, pretty complicated. And then you've got Claire, played by the excellent Elizabeth Moss, who's in a physically abusive relationship. So they all have these sort of dynamics happening. Their husbands go to prison, and so they learn while out on the streets that a lot of the local like shopkeepers and whatnot have stopped paying their protection money on time because they don't feel like they're getting anything out of the relationship. And so the women with the help of some still loyal family members, as well as a gentleman by the name of Gabriel, played by Domhnall Gleeson, who returns from laying low out west to sort of help enforce things. They quickly sort of become not only a profitable sort of arm of the operation, but very well loved in the neighborhood, just because they're doing what they say, and that idea of organized crime as family sort of bubbles back up to the surface after having sort of been supplanted by the cruelty and violence that can, you know, obviously comes with a criminal element. But, you know, the reality is that three women in a position of power in that place and time, like, that's something that's always going to have an expiration date. And so it soon becomes clear that, especially when their husbands are getting ready to come out once their sentences are done, like, how is that going to work? Like, are their husbands going to be able to deal with the fact that their wives have become more successful than they ever were? And so that dynamic is introduced. And as with any ascent into power, especially when you're dealing with some of the shadier elements of humanity, things get ugly in a couple of places, and that ugliness transfers to some pretty brutal moments, honestly, across the board. And it's really up to the three of them to sort of figure out, like, are they willing and able to do what it's going to take to keep the spot that they've reached. Honestly, that synopsis makes it sound kind of better than it is. It might sound familiar because if you saw the excellent movie Widows last year, it's very similar. It's a very similar movie, and it's not as good a movie. And that's the kitchen suffers very much in comparison to Widows, which is too bad. It's you know, the storyline is a little muddied. The choices of focus are really interesting. Like, some things we spend a lot of time on that seem unnecessary, and other things where we could really use some more information are just sort of blown by. Like, it's just the really odd choices in terms of pacing and focus, which, again, like, I think a lot of that can be laid at the feet of an inexperienced director. And it's a real bummer because it's a fantastic cast. I mean, obviously, McCarthy has already shown her dramatic bona fides with stuff like Can You Ever Forgive Me? She's really good here. I feel for Tiffany Haddish because this is really her first try at, like, making that crossover move.
Right.
I think she struggles, but I don't think it's her fault. But I think that might be enough to make it. It's probably going to be a while before she gets another shot like this, which is too bad because I think she's very talented, and I think she has. I would guess she has what it takes to make that crossover. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think she's got real talent. The best of the three is probably Elizabeth Moss, just because, I mean, she gets the closest thing to an actual arc than of any of them in terms of character development, and I mean she's phenomenally talented anyway. Yes. So you've got that going. And then, like, you know, the guys playing the husbands are all, Domhnall Gleeson, as Gabriel is great. The guys playing the husbands are pretty solid. People like Margot Martindale show up for a few scenes. Like, it's an incredibly talented ensemble that you just wish was operating in a better movie. I love the idea, and as someone who has always loved the sort of 70s aesthetic, like, we get some of that, which is really great, which makes me, you know, that which was really enjoyable. But at the end of the day, it was just like, eh. Like, it was kind of a shoulder shrug. Sure. More than anything else. And that's too bad because it was the sort of movie that I thought had a shot at doing something special, but it just fell short.
Thanks, Alan.
Hey, my pleasure.
Alan Adams talking movies every Monday here on Pass the Popcorn on Downtown.